Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, everyone, and thanks for joining this earnings call of Infibeam Technologies Limited for this quarter ended on 31st December 2025. The results are available on the stock exchange. In case anyone does not have a copy of the same, please do write to us, and we will be happy to send over it to you. To take us through the results of this quarter, we have with us Co-founder, Mr. Avinash Sethi. We will be starting the call with a brief overview of the company's performance, and then we will allow the Q&A session. Kindly ask your questions by raising your hand after the brief overview by Avinash is over, and then we will address all the questions one by one. I would like to remind you all that everything said on this call that reflects any outlook for the future can be considered as a forward-looking statement and must be used in conjunction with the uncertainty and risks that we face. These uncertainties and risks are included, but not limited to what we have mentioned in the prospectus led with the SEBI and the subsequent annual report. With the said note, I turn over the call to Mr. Avinash Sethi. Over to you, Avinash.
Thank you, Surabhi. Thank you, everybody, for joining this call. We appreciate your interest in Infibeam. Let's start. I'll quickly run through the highlights of the company, and then we'll talk about the results, and then we'll open to Q&A. Infibeam, as a company, was founded in 2000. We are hitting 35 years now. 1,500 people globally known for AI-led design and engineering work. We strive to deliver meaningful work, meaningful value to our customers using the best of the available software technology in the world. We are present in all the locations that you see on the map. In India, we are in five locations: in Europe, in Frankfurt, Middle East, and Dubai, and in the USA, in Valley, Silicon Valley, and New York. Next, please. This is a quick roadmap of what we have been doing and achieved in all these years. The first 10, 12 years were more foundational, and the real growth started after 2010 onwards. That is when we went to the world-class facility in Crystallized Park in SEZ Indore. And then we went public in 2017, acquired a couple of companies on the way. And then we almost touched 400 crores in 2023. We have onboarded Sunny Shmoorthy, an advisor to the board. He was ex-CEO of iGATE. And then just this month, we have onboarded Harmeet Bhatia as Chief Revenue Officer in the Bay Area. We also achieved a CMMI Level 5 maturity level for our project development processes. Next, please. The quick numbers out here. Very large companies is one of the USPs of Infibeam. We have about 29 large enterprise clients that we work with. These are either billion-dollar businesses or billion-dollar valuation businesses. 90% is the repeat business for us, so that helps prove the client trust, the great amount of trust that the client has on Infibeam. We've done two successful acquisitions. There are 300 members who are with us for five years and plus. We're listed on both the stock markets. Financial nine months for 2024-2025, 300 crores in revenue, 60 crores in EBITDA, 28 crores in PAT, 242 crores of cash and cash equivalents. That includes 76 crores of AR, accounts receivable. Mostly, these are good. And we've been doing a CAGR of 26% for the last five years. Several awards and partnerships that are mentioned here. Worth mentioning are Salesforce Platinum Partner and ServiceNow Premium Partner. We have been receiving awards, Great Place to Work, for many, many years. We are also Best Companies for Women in India, Dream Companies to Work for multiple times, and recently got a CMMI Level 5 award as well. These are the areas that we focus on: enterprise software services for web and cloud, user experience and design work, rapid prototyping ability, which is a special ability that we have, AI-enabled solutions around you know, generative AI, GitHub, Copilot, and so on. Platform solutions like Salesforce and ServiceNow Consulting, and then RPA, automation, DevOps, CI/CD work. So these are the abilities that we offer to our customers globally. Next, please. So some of the key updates for the quarter, we got CMMI level 5 appraised this quarter. 6 clients were onboarded, 2 European customers, which are large enterprises, 2 US-based large enterprises, and 2 US-based SMEs. Onboarded a new party, I just mentioned. Sponsored ServiceNow World Forum in Dallas. We are actively playing in the ServiceNow and Salesforce area. And selectively picking up conferences where we actively participate as sponsors also. Participate in the World Standards Day. A good number of customers are standard compliant companies. So we are active in that space as well. On the ESG and CSR front, we continue to do our contribution. Next, please. This is the board of directors. Again, very highly experienced core team, which we are very proud to have. They are big time experience, and they are the leaders on who are responsible for growing the business to the next level. The new one joining on the board, he was working as a head of sales for Jade Global in the US, and now he joined us. It can bring the 30 years of experience in sales, marketing, business development, particularly in the IT services. Yes. Now the clients, they are with us for quite a long time. The average age for our large customers is, you know, on an average is 9 years. 90% of clients are repeat customers. And this goes a long way in terms of establishing our credence with the customers. A quick look at the numbers. December 23 versus December 24, YOY we have grown by 6% on the revenue side, 12% on EBITDA side, and about 27% on PAT side. There might be some rounding errors here, so, you know, 3% might seem like 2%, but, you know, it is because of the rounding that the percentages are different. But we'll see the details in the end of the next slide. Yeah, here are the actual numbers without decimal. So if you look at it, our revenue from operations has grown by 8 crores from 89 to 97. However, it is slightly lower as compared to September 24 quarter. Other income has reduced to 3 crores from 5 in December 23. And the total revenue is 100 crores in December 24 as compared to 94 in 23. It is slightly lower as compared to September 24. December quarters are usually lower quarters in terms of the billing availability and the number of billing hours available for the month, for the quarter, because of Dashera, Diwali holidays in India, and then Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays in the US. Plus, a couple of customers, you know, do a 2-week shutdown towards the end of the year, from 16th of December to 31st of December, they do a shutdown. Therefore, there cannot be any billing that can be done for these customers. So it is because of these, drop in billing hours that availability is lower and then the revenue is lower. So which is usually the case every December quarter, we will see a lower number as compared to the previous quarter. So nothing to worry in that sense. In fact, I find it extremely good that we've been able to move the needle significantly from 89 crores to 97 crores between December to December quarters. EBITDA is also slightly improved, and same is the PAT. we have been able to improve that. Note that our operational cycle hit in October, and therefore this quarter has the impact of increasing payroll cost across the company. And despite that, we've been able to have a better margin as compared to December 23. So better utilization and the cost optimization efforts have yielded good control on the cost so far. This is the breakup. Interestingly, Europe is, increasing the pie. It's the size of its pie. Usually, in a year ago, I would say 80% was US, 10% was Europe, and 10% was UAE plus India. Today, both UAE and Europe are increasing their share in the pie, and US is slightly reduced. By segment, we are more or less 50-50 between digital transformation, product engineering. And by business, including cloud tech has shown a slight dip. It used to be 18%, now it is 16% right now. Next, please. BMI level 5, we talked about it. Next. This is the conference I was talking about. We sponsored the ServiceNow World event, World Forum in Dallas. And here we have team from Agenio and including the US putting together the show. We attended the Standard Development Conference and pitching to NSI, which is the standard body there. Next, please. We participated in a coding hackathon. We hosted a coding hackathon for students of high school, which was the largest high school conference in India. And, it was a good experience. The students really love the coding experience. Next, please. We have a practice where we are planting a tree for our birthdays of each of our team members. So, the score of planting 346 trees in the last quarter. This is public information anyway. As of 31st December. Next, please. We are open for question and answer, and I'll ask Subhi to coordinate, Subhi and Madhul to coordinate.
Participants can kindly raise their hands to ask the question. We would request you to limit your questions to two so that we can address as many questions as possible for the participants. The first question comes from the line of Rajesh Chaudhary. Rajesh, kindly ask your question.
Yeah, good evening. My question is like, once the your profit after tax margins are very less as compared to year on year, so will this trend continue or can we see an increase in the profit after tax margins?
I didn't get the question. You think profit is less? What is the
profit after profit after tax margin I'm talking about? It is. If you see the year on year figures, and it's quite low. I understand on sequential basis it is on parity, but year to year basis.
Yeah, so the PAT margin. We are working hard to improve it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if you look at the September quarter, we were doing much better.
Correct.
I think it is also a factor of the revenue. If we have any increase in revenue, all of that will go to the PAT, mm-hmm. or more or less it will go to the PAT. So we are, I would say, running a very tight ship at this point in time where most of the cost is adding to the revenue. Most of the cost is contributing to generate revenue. And anything additionally that we generate on the revenue side, we'll be able to go back to the PAT. That's one way to look at it. And the second way to look at it is, since we have intangible assets on the books by way of acquisitions of two companies, mm-hmm. we have a significant portion of amortization that we do every year.
Okay.
And I think every 6 months, we publish a number of the real cash heading into the books versus the PAT. So we do a much better cash accumulation over the years. And I think the best way to look at is the EBITDA margins. Are we improving on EBITDA margins or not? And the target is to, you know, stay around 23-24% EBITDA margins. And as I said, you know, any increase in revenue will immediately add to the EBITDA cycle, EBITDA margins. So PAT is not a very good picture of what the business is. Another factor is, you know, we have certain units which are tax exempt and certain units which are not tax exempt. So at some point in time, you know, some units generate more profit and other units don't generate enough profit. So it depends on which zone it is generating more profit and whether it is highly taxed or it is lower taxed. So again, you know, PAT is a little misleading at this point in time. EBITDA is a better indicator.
Okay. And the second question is, like, I think we onboarded six new clients. So what would be the revenue contribution from these new clients?
See, we are a services company, and typically any new client that starts with us will start with a, you know, small project. And these projects, typically, when I look at all these six clients, we probably are looking at 100K-200K work to begin with.
100K.
And eventually, it increases. So it is kind of a test of services and test of business when they give us a small work to begin, and then it flies off quickly.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. All the best. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Rajesh. The next question comes from the line of Devansh. Devansh, kindly ask your question.
Yeah. Hi, Avinash. How are you?
Very well, Devansh.
It's good to see the growth in InfoBeans over the last few years. There has been growth, so that's very good. I just had a question. So, what was the net change to our employee count this quarter? Is there been any net change or?
Yeah, so we reduced our net count by 40 people, 43 people to be precise.
Okay.
And yeah, so we have done a bit of a cost optimization here.
Okay. And yeah. The second question was on the CMMI accreditation of level 5. How do you see that flowing down into revenue and profit growth over the next few years? If you could just explain that, that'll be great.
It is difficult to put a number to it, Devansh. What happens is when you, it's kind of a credibility enhancer. So we were growing when in the CMMI level 3. But did we grow well between no certification to CMMI level 3 certification? Definitely yes. Was it purely because of CMMI level 3? The answer is no. Whether we are going to grow from CMMI level 3 to CMMI level 5 in terms of revenue, only because of that, the answer will be no. But does it really help? It certainly yes. So it is very difficult to put a number to it. But yes, it is, you know, enhancing the credibility of your presence. So when I'm going to pitch my company to a new customer, they'll be happy to see that I'm a CMMI level 5 company and I have at least get a chance to be heard. So that opportunity are better, but whether I can attribute everything to or attribute any number to this, it is difficult.
Okay, got it. Thank you. Just the last question was, are we continuing to look for acquisition targets and has there been any update? Because 2 quarters back, we were looking to expand into AI offerings and we've partnered with a company there, but are we also looking at any acquisitions? And if you could just explain your thought process behind the acquisition pipeline.
Yes, we do. We continue to look at acquisition opportunities, and I think we have maintained our stance that, you know, if it is suitable and it is falling in our fitment, then only we will acquire. We will not acquire just because we have money, just because we are not growing organically, or just because the market is putting a lot of pressure on us. We will not do that. But the right fitment and the right value is what we are looking at. We are very actively searching for companies in ServiceNow and Salesforce space. But yeah, we have not been able to close anything so far. But it is still a part of our active strategy.
Understood. Thank you. That's okay.
Thank you, Vivansh.
Thanks, Vivansh. Next question comes from the line of Shashi Bhushan. Shashi, kindly ask the question.
Hi, team. This is Shashi Bhushan. I have two questions. Are you able to hear?
Yes.
Yeah, my first question is, last quarter you told actually, next coming quarter, like September to December, you told max margin, no, 1 or 2% will drop. But I can see almost 4.5% dropped actually, operating profit 19 to 14.5. And that too, you mentioned, I think you ignored some Indian projects actually, because that project's not generating margins, correct? But here you can say, you know, almost 4.5% operating margins. You told already appraisals, but it won't impact something like the two max 2 to 3%. But I can see able to see 4.5% margins. Yeah, can you elaborate?
See, there is an impact of let me give you a number. There's about 3 crores of quarterly impact because of the appraisals. Now, if I were to look at the revenue, we have seen a drop of 3 crores from the last quarter. So had we been able to maintain a similar top line, you know, there would have been a little impact on the bottom line. Plus, I also mentioned that we reduced the headcount by about 43 people. So we would have saved some money from there as well. However, having said that, the idea is not to reduce the business size. The idea is to improve the business side. Now, we have hired Harmeet as CRO, and we'll have more sales people coming and joining us. Now, that will impact the margin definitely for that quarter. But if I were to look at, you know, a longer period, at least let's say 12 to 18 months, we'll be able to recover everything that we have spent in the initial quarters in order to grow the business. So I don't think a business can be run on a quarter to quarter basis. The business has to be seen in the light of the investment that you're making and how it is going to create an impact in the longer run. You know, one quarter, one client, a good point client in a quarter can change the margins very, very quickly. But if I were to look at a pattern over a longer period, then only I will be able to do justice to the decisions and the business that I'm doing here. So I think it is difficult to, you know, put a maintain that mathematical progression quarter on quarter. It will always going to be, you know, up and down, but in the longer run, if you draw a line, then you will find the trajectory going in a certain direction, which is the business direction of the business.
Yeah, my last question actually, I can see Infobin, I think that time as an investor, it was very good era. You can say 21, 22 March, it was awesome actually, 22-24% actually margins. So can we expect at least 20% margin coming 2 to 3 years, at least margins? Because nowadays we are able to see max since last 2-3 years, 17 to 18 only, correct? But it was the 21,
yeah,
22,
so,
we can see, yeah.
Yeah, we are striving for that, Shashi. We want to have our EBITDA margins cross 23-24%, and that is our goal. We want to achieve that number. But at the same time, as I said, we want to achieve that number in a sustainable basis. And therefore, whatever investments that are required to reach that kind of a position, we continue to do that. And that would mean that there might be pain in the short term, but it will recover in the long term. Now, if I go back to the time we are talking about in the year 21-22, that was a time when there was a great demand coming in. People were working remotely. At the same time, there was a great demand of team members also. So both business was flying high, as well as both on the revenue side and as well as on the people side. Now, what this has created is a very high-cost environment for IT industry, where the developer cost has almost doubled in just less than 2 years, I would say. Between 22 to 24, the cost has almost doubled. Now, in that environment, obviously, you cannot maintain the same margin just off the bat. It has to, I mean, we are passing on the cost to the customers slowly and gradually. And the results are to be seen in the last 3 quarters. The margins have started to show improvements. Even though the revenue is not growing as fast, the margins are growing faster. So that is the good news in a sense that, yes, we are going in the right direction.
Okay.
Now, how soon can we reach 24% and whether we'll be able to maintain that quarter on quarter? I think it will still take some time.
Nash?
Yeah, I wish.
Yeah, you can hear now, right? I think there was some issue in between.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
Sorry for
I
that.
have 3 questions broadly. So one question is, I mean, with in US now there is talk of, animal spirits in the economy are back. Business confidence has gone up by, 30-40%, like that. So how is the environment now? Do you think now that in calendar 25 there will definitely be revenue growth, which will be more closer to our historical run rate? Are you now at least seeing the environment is supportive? That is question number one. Question number two is, can you give me the utilization level now of our manpower? And question number three is, can you talk about Agenio? I think Agenio was, I think, $1.5 million business, I think, in a Q1, if I have my numbers right. So where is that business? How is that business scaling up? So if you can address these three questions.
Yeah, thank you, Rupesh. To talk about the animal spirits, I think it is more talk than the reality. Again, the media can always extrapolate certain situations with a lot of biases that they would have. But I think the mood is still cautious in my mind. Customers are definitely looking positive because Trump has always been pro-corporates. So that environment is definitely there. I don't think it is animal spirits anywhere to be seen at this point in time. But regardless of that, the environment is better as compared to what it was 6 months ago. So that is one. The second thing is about utilization levels. So we are at 79%. We are striving to improve it further. And the third thing is on the Agenio is doing well. I don't know if I gave you any number, and even if I have given you any number, it will be a more of an annual expectation. What has happened is we've struck another relationship with a parent of Agenio, which is called as Materna. Materna is a group company which does IT services in Germany. And Agenio is a subsidiary of Materna, which is focused only on ServiceNow. So now we have two level of relationships. One is with Agenio only on ServiceNow work, and second is with Materna for multiple IT services work. So we are exploring with them whether we can work on design services, we can work on IT services related to all the open source technologies, also on AI related work. So multiple levels of partnerships are being struck, both at the child and the parent side. So that's a good development, and you can see the European market, which is German revenue, is almost doubled from what it used to be a year ago. So yes, good progress in that front. And but now we are you know, hoping that we'll be able to generate more sales from all the three geographies combined, because we are investing heavily on the sales side for US, for Germany, and for Middle East.
Okay, and then maybe if I can ask one or two follow-ups quickly.
Please come in the queue, I would say, Rupesh.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks, Rupesh. The next question comes from the line of Devansh Goenka. Devansh has already spoken. No? If you have somebody else, please have them.
Yeah. The next question comes from the line of Mitesh Gandhi. Mitesh, kindly ask your question.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, Mitesh.
Yeah, I just want to know, what is the other income? Basically, it is the interest only or what?
It is a combination of two things, interest income as well as any foreign exchange gain or loss that we get. It's a combination of two things.
Because if we remove interest income, which is around 3 in December quarter, the profit after tax will just be a 4 CR.
Mm-hmm.
So major element is that other income in 7, almost 50%.
Okay.
So what we feel is that other income is, you know, 50% of our total profit after tax.
Okay.
So I mean, then what is the business is earning then?
The other income money that the 165 crores that has come from the business, my dear friend. Right.
Yeah, that we understood. But then now, as of now, if we just utilize that cash, then the profit will be, you know, much more higher actually, because we are showing that we have a cash balance of 290 crore, something like that.
See, Mitesh, that's what I'm saying. We can't look at the business quarter on quarter. I mentioned we can't bill customers in the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that does not mean that the business is not doing good, right? Mm-hmm. If there are holidays, you got to live with those, right? You know, look at September 24. You know, there is a PAT of 13 crores, and there is other income 4 crores. There is 9 crore on 98 crores. Is that good?
Yeah, and I just want to know, I know the market price is a different than what a business, but it, because today result is published and it has given the impact on the share price directly.
The share price is a different matter altogether.
Yeah, we understood, but since today the result has been declared and we consider that this is what other income, if we remove this, is the business and it has been impacted, it is showing the share price directly when we release the results.
I can't really comment on that.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Vinesh, do you want to emphasize on the EBITDA portion that generates the cash again?
Yeah, I mentioned earlier also, PAT is not the right number to look at. You should look at the EBITDA number, which is telling you how much is the business generating on the operating side. And there is a significant portion of amortization that is also causing the PAT to reduce. So that is how it should be looked at. Even if you look at 18 crores of EBITDA, remove 3 crores of other income from there, 15 crores of EBITDA on 97 crores. I would find this problem here. Same goes with September 24, 19 crores on 98, quite a decent number. All right.
Okay. Thanks, Mitesh. The next question comes from Vikul Arora. Vikul, kindly ask your question.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes. Avinash ji, just wanted to highlight that I'm not considering from quarter to quarter. If I look at the June Q2 FY23 to current quarter, it's been around 9 to 10 quarters. Our top line is not good. Like we were around 95 to 100 crore. So if I compare with any other peers, the small to mid to large cap, our revenue is not going somewhere else. If you can throw some light.
I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you, Vikul, on that. And we are equally upset because of that. We have been trying multiple things, and there have been, one or the other clients moving away, which is causing this pain. But at the same time, we've been able to get new clients which are able to fill the gap. However, the end result remains the same, that we are in that 95 to 100 crore range. Totally understand and totally agree with you. So, as I said, we are equally upset with that. And therefore, if you look at the kind of changes that we are doing, including people like Phaneesh Murthy to guide us, whether where are we going wrong, what are we missing, what are the things that we should be doing, how should we change the strategic direction, which geographies to focus on, which offerings to focus on. And we have made those changes. We got CRO Harmit Bhatia as a chief executive role, C role, C-suite role. And he is now a CRO at the America region. So all these changes are in line with what you're saying, which is also trying to see how we can break this orbit and move to the next one. So we have been working on these directions, and I agree with what you're saying. It's like from not even June, I think the March 22 till December 24, we are in that nervous 90s, if I were to talk about that. But
Yeah.
yeah, I am painfully aware of that and working hard in terms of changing and breaking this orbit.
So I can assume like the same thrust that we were having at that time, same we are having now. We are not having any kind of mindset change.
I didn't get it. What do you mean by that?
I mean saying the way we were doing the acquisition and growth at 2022 that time, we are also working towards in the same goal. That's what my question.
Yeah, I think, see, and I keep mentioning that, I probably have done it in the past also. See, as founders, it is gross injustice to us and to our shareholders if we are not investing in growth.
Yes.
Now, it does not mean that from March 22 to December 24, we have not invested in growth. We did, and we didn't succeed in certain ways and certain methods. Therefore, we are getting more experienced people in the business and seeking their guidance and how to crack this particular hurdle. And that is the direction that we are taking. Obviously, we are committing a lot of I would say resources to it. And hopefully, this will change certain things in the time to come. But we are restless, and we are upset. We are willing to crack this open and go to the next orbit, and we are doing all that it takes, including the acquisition efforts. So yes, both organic and inorganic growth we are investing heavily, and I think it's probably a outcome will need to speak more than what I'm speaking. So there's nothing that I can add further at this point in time.
All right. So related to M&A, earlier we had a kind of one or two pipelines, but in this presentation we haven't any kind of M&A pipeline. So we are not having any kind of
company
Yeah,
that we.
nothing worth mentioning right now, Vikul. Therefore, we did not put anything this time.
Okay.
There is nothing that is going on. We were positive about a couple of pipelines last time, and therefore we used to mention that, but there is nothing at this point in time.
All right. Thanks for your explanation. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Vikul. Just one last question which we would take because we are at the top of the hour. The next question comes from the line of Sagar Fulwani. Sagar, kindly ask your question.
Hello, am I audible?
Sagar.
Yeah. Avinash, sir, I just wanted to ask you on the similar question. Like, if you look at your EBITDA margin, so if you include other income with your EBITDA margin, then your EBITDA margin is 18-17%. But then again, then if you exclude the other income part, then your EBITDA margin is somewhere 15%. So you once guided that your margins will, you know, you have a mission to achieve a EBITDA margin of 22%. So I just wanted to know that EBITDA margin you are saying includes other income or excludes other income? And if so,
It
like
includes other.
how? Okay, then how are we are done with the cost optimization part, or we can look, you know, for the next full year like a better cost optimization strategy?
So it is a constant effort, and we've been able to control the cost across all these quarters, and we have a better handle. Having said that, we are investing in sales in all the geographies, so that will add up to the burden of the cost. But we are hopeful that the increase in revenue will, recover all of those costs in time to come. So we are constantly improving our optimization efforts, and we want to increase our utilization levels beyond 80%. Actually, the target is 85%. So we are working to constantly towards that. So there are pockets that we are, improving upon. And, it's a constant exercise. There is no, we can't say that, everything is done today. We'll not find any new ideas and new ways to, reduce costs.
And just wanted to share a concern. Like, you have posted a decent numbers, to be frank, for this quarter. But the thing is that there is a concern about capital allocation part, because you have almost 150 crores of, you know, kind of free cash in your balance sheet, and we have not made any acquisitions. So that is putting heavy price on the, you know, stock price, because capital allocation is really important, which, you know, the ROE and all is getting very hampered. So I just hope that, you know, you work on that.
Yeah, yes, Roger, we are painfully aware of that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sagar. Over to you, Avinash, for the closing remarks. Thank you, everyone, for your continued interest in Infibeam. Any questions that is left unanswered, please send an email to ir.relations@infibeam.com, and we'll be happy to answer. And I invite every one of you to come and visit Infibeam if you have time. If you are in Indore, we'll be happy to have you and spend time with you in terms of explaining the business to you. Anytime I'm in Mumbai or Pune or any other cities that you are in, we'll try and reach out to you and see if we can do a quick session with you to explain the business in a better way. Thank you very much, and feel free to reach out to us. We'll be happy to answer any of your unanswered queries. Thanks.